The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Jim Baker resigned.
Well, so- stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. It has been one of those days for me, and I just want you guys to know it is almost the middle of January 2013. Today is the 12th of January. Today's the 9th. See, today's the 9th.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. See the days that I'm having? I'm sitting up here counting stamps and thinking that they come in books of 10. And freaking out because I didn't get enough stamps. You know, you got to understand, I'm really wacky. I don't know if you know that. I am. I'm wacky. And, I'm sorry.
But look at the day we got. We should be so thankful. It's 45 degrees in Northeast Ohio in the middle of January. The sun's shining. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Well, I told my mom earlier or yesterday, I told her, I don't think that we're going to have... we're going to have another winter.
Oh, don't say that.
We're done.
We're not.
Why?
Biggest snowstorms we get in this area is in March and April. You know that.
We're done. Last year we didn't get any at all, did we?
No, we didn't have any winter at all last year.
And this year, I think winter's over.
No, don't say that.
I'm just saying.
I've spent a lot of time in a steel mill, 20 below zero, first week of February.
That's what I'm saying, and I think winter's over.
It ain't the first week of February yet.
It doesn't matter. The groundhog, you know, the groundhog lost his weight. He has no clue what's going on. He needs to show up today so he can really tell you winter is done. There's no more 6 more weeks of winter, you know, was it in Punxsutawney?
Punxsutawney Phil. Buckeye Chuck. We got Buckeye Chuck here.
Oh, Buckeye Chuck and Punxsutawney Phil.
Right.
Well, you know, they just got unemployed. They got a check in the mail and they got a pink slip with it saying, sorry, you don't work. You're out of work. Nothing personal.
I'm not willing to say that yet. I'm not. I'm afraid to say that.
I'm not afraid to say it. I'm just telling you what I see. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And today, we talk about energy on today, and we have a guest coming on from, let me make sure I have this right.
Central Ohio Solid Waste District.
Uh-huh. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what they're doing down there. And then Sticks came on, and he was talking about American freedoms. And he and I got into this debate about if you take zoning out, he doesn't think that you ought to have zoning and you ought to be able to do with your property as you like because it's yours. Now,
unless it runs off the property.
It doesn't matter.
If you do something on your property that encroaches on your neighbor physically, then we've got a problem.
It does.
If you put one of those outdoor wood burners on your property.
Right.
And the smoke goes in your neighbor's house, now you got a problem.
Okay. But when you park your car in the front yard?
It's my front yard.
It's my neighborhood.
But it's my front yard. I pay the taxes.
It's my neighborhood. I do not. Your car in my front yard.
No. My car's in my front yard. My car isn't in your front
yard. But my property value goes down because of your car in my front yard. The same way that I came in here the other day talking about insurance. My car has never been stolen. Thank you, Jesus. My car has never been stolen. I have not had filed a claim on my insurance. So why in the world do I have to pay an exorbitant amount of insurance based upon what happens to other people? My house insurance goes up because other people get stolen. Help me out here.
Because it's your zip code, because of where you live.
No, it's not because of where I live.
Yes, it is.
When I moved in, it was a healthy neighborhood. It was a thriving neighborhood. It didn't have problems. So now because I still live there, I have to bear the responsibility of other people? Hello?
It's two different things. One's an actuarial table and one's private property rights.
It's my private property.
Well, I don't insure it.
I have to insure it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Who says so?
Your mortgage company.
Well, if don't have a mortgage.
You got who has cash? I mean, they put you, I mean, seriously.
I bet you there's a lot of houses in this town I could buy with cash.
You keep, and that's a problem because people park their cars in the front yard and they think, why do people do that? Why is it that you have a car, you know the car is never going to work again? Why don't you just junk it?
It's especially with the price of scrap. I don't know why anybody'd have a junk car sitting around.
Tell me, why is it you? Why do you park cars in your driveway and let them just go to waste?
Oh, no, 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 you don't understand. That's going to be worth money someday.
Not if it's rusted out and you don't cover it up.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand the mentality of those kind of people.
No, I don't understand.
Because, oh, yeah, that's...
No, I don't understand.
There's hoarders. I mean, you ever watch the show Hoarders?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing works with automobiles. Trust me.
Why?
I have family. I have family.
Why?
I have family.
You're trying
Trust
to say...
me. I have family.
Are you trying to say...
And there's no rationality to it.
Sticks, I'm going to run out of stamps.
Well, why didn't you... It's simple mathematics. You know how many envelopes you got there.
That's not the point. That's not the point. Okay. No, I'm just saying. You don't think we ought to have zoning?
No. It works in Houston. They don't have any zoning in Houston.
There's still laws.
I believe. Now, see, no,
there has to be, Sticks. There has to be.
No, there isn't.
There has to be.
They may have. Now, wait a minute. Do you know what deed restrictions are?
No.
Deed restrictions are not zoning.
Oh, what is that?
That means if I want to sell a piece of property, I can put restrictions on what you can do with that property, and you going in as a purchaser.
Yeah, they said they couldn't sell
to
black people. You're right. That's just
well,
there are restrictions on that.
Those big houses down the street from me.
Yeah.
The guy that sold those, you can't have any livestock on those properties other than sheep or horses. This is in the deeds. They put these in the deeds when they sold those 5-acre lots. No livestock except sheep or horses. The house has to be so many square feet. It has to have a 3-car garage, and the garage cannot open up to the street. And those restrictions are written into the deed. So you can deed restrict. I know a lot of property that's been deed restricted against mobile homes. Farms that have been split up into parcels where there's no zoning. But you're going in to the purchase knowing this. You're not having a government entity come and change the rules on you in the middle of the stream, which is my problem with zoning. And zoning... It can be absolutely insane. Do you realize in Alliance, Ohio, they rezoned, and they did the same thing in Canton, Ohio. They rezoned parts of that city as residential single unit.
Okay.
All right? So therefore, if you have a duplex, a purpose-built duplex, or a purpose-built triplex, or a purpose-built fourplex, in one of those areas... and it sits vacant for more than a year, you cannot reuse that property as a multifamily unit.
Why not?
Because it's against the zoning. Because the area has been rezoned R1. So what they've done is they've created urban blight, because now you have every block's got at least one of these houses that was purpose-built as a duplex or threeplex or fourplex that's absolutely worthless to anybody. So they're falling in. Because they want single-family homes.
I think sometimes we go overboard. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, I think because of the ignorance of the American electorate, we allow things to happen. You know, I have a problem, you know, billboards. Billboards are a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You pay anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 a month to have your advertisement up on a billboard. Well, if that is the case, and they have restrictions on how many billboards that you have, so we have these conglomerates that own these billboards now.
Now, is that a state, federal, local? What does it work?
Because... I don't know how it's governed, but I know you don't find new billboard companies coming up. You can go buy the old billboard companies. But as far as being able to get zoning for new have new billboards.
Oh, so it's a zoning thing.
It's a zoning thing. It's a money thing. But
so
you
if I want to put a billboard out of my house, I can go ahead and do it and nobody stops
me. Not necessarily.
I guarantee you I can.
Why? How do you know that? Because the state may not let you. What do you mean? You
I don't have any
that.
Zoning. That's why. I can do anything. If I want to build a new house on my property, I call Carter Lumber and tell them deliver me a lumber package. And we start building.
But that's you, and you don't have to pay any, no fees, no.
The only thing I have to do out there where I live is I have to have a septic and a well permit. Other than that, if I pay cash, I don't have to ask nobody permission to do anything.
That ain't a bad deal. That ain't a bad deal. Not a bad deal. So is it a good way to live?
I've never lived any place where I had zoning. Never in my whole life. I'm 48 years old. I've never lived any place except when I was in the service. I never lived any place where I had a professional fire department, and I never lived any place where we had police protection. And I've never lived any place where I had zoning. And I wouldn't move any place where I had zoning. Because I'm not the kind of guy that gets along well with places where there's zoning.
Why?
Because I just know the kind of person I am, so I don't need to live there because I wouldn't get along with the people that like to live like that.
Why wouldn't you get along with the people that like to live like that?
Because they want to tell me what to do with my property. If I want to park my car in the front yard, I'm going to park my car in the front yard.
But do you
know? So I don't go there. I know not to live there because that way we don't have any problems.
But do you understand why we can't park our cars in the front yard?
No, because it's not your property. When it comes to this, I'm a libertarian. When a man owns a piece of real estate, as long as what he's doing doesn't physically harm his neighbor, what he does on his own property is his business.
But don't you think that we have to have parameters that are equal to everyone?
No.
Why? I mean, just like, you know, you hear Alex talk about, you know, marijuana. And people should be able to do what they choose to do with their own bodies. And I agree with that. But your use of marijuana can affect my life.
How?
How?
If marijuana was legalized tomorrow, just like alcohol, you had to go to a state marijuana distributor to buy it, buy the pack, how would somebody else's use of marijuana affect your life? As long as they don't get behind the wheel inebriated, which you have the same thing with alcohol. All things being equal.
I think the overwhelming influence that it would have on American society would be a detriment to our advancement.
How come it didn't have a detriment on it for 100 and change years before it was illegal?
Because it was not in wide distribution. Distribution sources were not there.
So I was just reading something pretty interesting this morning that comes into what you've said this oftentimes. The war on drugs, according to this author that I was reading this morning, the war on drugs was actually put in place because they did away with prohibition, and they needed something to do with all the prohibition enforcement agents. And since white people drank and black people and Hispanic people used drugs,
they
people of color used drugs,
yeah.
We just took all those enforcement agents and started a war on drugs.
Pretty much. You're right about that. Again, it's all about dollars and dollars and cents.
Right.
But when I look at distribution of illegal drugs and when I look at distribution of the reason why, you know, even during prohibition, the only reason why, you know, they tried to control it is because they could make money at it. And then when they put their distribution sources into it, then they made it legal. So tell me this. Why is it that you're not supposed to be able to make your own liquor and sell it without, you know? You can't.
You can make all the beer and wine you want. You can't make distilled spirits.
Why?
Because I don't know.
Why?
I mean, I know why, because the government, because you're getting in on their action.
But so I mean, why is that? I mean,
because we allow it.
But I mean, seriously, I mean, there are some things that you're not allowed to manufacture. There are people who have farms who get paid not to farm.
Right.
Why? But we import our grains and stuff from other places in the world. I don't understand. I don't understand.
I fully understand it. I understand it because we've allowed our politicians to get away from us. They don't work for us anymore. We work for them.
But again, is why? I mean, seriously.
Why? I don't know why we left it get away from us. It's been getting away from us for 100 years.
I mean, look at cigarettes. Do you know how many? Do you realize cigarettes is so bad for you? Why is it that we allow them to stay in the distribution that they're in? And how much money do...
You want to know something funnier than that about tobacco?
What's that?
We spend millions of dollars to tell people not to use it, and we spend millions of dollars to subsidize it.
Okay.
Through the Department of Agriculture.
So explain that. I mean, you have to look at the common sense of this. The number is 347-945-5229. Look at this. The reason why we have zoning is because in my neighborhood, if I didn't have a noise ordinance or a no noise zone.
Now, noise is different.
What's the difference?
Because that's infringing on your neighbor's personal space.
And so is your car parked in your front yard.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not trespassing on your property.
Yes, it is. Because your car in your front yard affects my property value. And my value affects me greatly. You don't paint your house. You don't take care of your grass. What?
Now see, I can go there with the grass thing with you because now you're creating a vermin problem.
I like my grass high. Some people would like their grass cut short. I like my lawn to be bushy.
But that becomes a public health because now you're giving a place for rats to hide.
Okay.
That's a different ball of wax.
And your car parked in the front yard, like a parking lot.
That doesn't give
a on a permanent.
Rats to hide.
Yes, it does. It allows rodents. It rusts. People park their cars in their driveways for years. They never moved. They've been dead for a very long time.
You don't understand. That's a classic car. It's going to be worth something someday.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
What? To who?
The person that owns it believes that. Trust me, I understand this. This mentality. I understand that.
I don't understand that. Pull your car in the garage and let it appreciate
but I've got
you.
I've got three sitting in there already.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. What, are you saving them for park? People, if you didn't have zoning, you have to have some kind of laws. You just can't go all willy-nilly all over the place. It just doesn't work that way. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You just can't.
Why not?
I mean, even right now, you know, there used to be signs that say no shirt, no inner.
I'm not talking.
We almost need to tell people, put clothes on before you leave the house because your pajamas are not outdoor wear.
I mean, I'm not talking about anarchy. I'm not talking about doing away with the traffic lights.
I don't know why.
I'm talking about your own personal space, your own personal property, and the use thereof. I mean, that's how the libertarian thing gets knocked into the weeds because everybody assumes we want
to
go. We want to go anarchy.
Like I said, out there where you live, you don't have a neighbor for 18 miles.
Yes, I do.
Listen,
I share a driveway.
If my car breaks down on the street, I gotta walk a country mile to get to a house to ask for help. I'm gonna take a break, but I was out there where you live out last night, and I decided to follow Mary home to go that way because she's coming back towards.
She's going to Canfield.
No, she wasn't going to Canfield. She was going to Poland.
Okay.
And Poland's over by me. I'm following her out. They don't know I'm following them. I honk the horn, and he thinks I'm trying to tell him to move. I'm not trying to tell him to move. I'm trying to tell him I'm trying to follow you because I've got this dumb GPS that didn't want to work. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere, no lights, no road signs, no nothing, trying to find a back way home. And I took 14, and I didn't know it was 14.
But there's a sign at every intersection.
The intersection, no, no,
yes,
no. No, there's a sign going out, but you have to pay attention to the sign when you're trying to work the GPS. But you're trying to work, you can't walk the GPS, drive the car, and read the signs at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere. No signs. No nothing. Car go down, you try to find a house. You're hit. No streetlights. No motor car.
That's why cars have headlights.
Yeah, but what happens when the battery goes out? You know? I mean, things happen when the electrical goes out. Bloop. What are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to get the flashlight out of the glove box and start walking.
I ain't walking out there. They got ghosts and goblins out there. Skip that. I'm serious. I'm serious about this. You don't have neighbors. You don't even have houses out there.
I have neighbors. You know I share a driveway.
You share that with your family. That doesn't count. Where is your closest neighbor from the one you share the driveway with?
1/8 of a mile, I suppose, either direction.
1/8 of a mile?
Yeah, one either direction, 1/8 of a mile.
No.
Yeah.
It's longer than that.
No, it ain't.
Yeah, it is.
Those grids are only a mile.
No.
Yeah,
listen, guys,
the entire Western Reserve was laid out in one-mile grids.
Sticks lives in the sticks. He owns all the property around him, and he has no neighbors. The closest he's got is a garage and a cow. And you want to tell me, because you share a driveway, which is like a street, when your kids went to school,
yeah,
they had to walk, get their exercise, go into the bus.
Well, yeah.
Yeah? You don't have neighbors.
That's why they put them little shanties at the end of the driveway.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. Six and I are sitting in the studio. We've got a guest coming on at 1:30, but we do want to hear from you today. It is open mic for the first part of the show. I had to bring this up because Stixon, you know, he was bringing up the zoning thing, and I'm like, you live in the country. You don't have to have a zone. You don't even have houses for people to have a zone.
But how does it work in Houston?
Houston doesn't count. He said the still spirits are taxed. That's the same reason why you aren't allowed to make or limited in making them. Your own fuel, your own grain, or you use for cooking, it's a tax. And anything that's taxed and the government makes money on, you can't go and grow on your own. I'm going to take a break. That just makes no sense. You're listening to Tracy and Fred. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. Until you guys find me a new song, it's going to be David Bowie. Be right back.
Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. An Austin Town woman was attacked in her home by two men who were reportedly looking for her boyfriend. The incident happened Friday night. One of the men who knocked open the door threatened the woman with a gun. The boyfriend then returned home, fired his gun, and the suspects fled on foot. Two men later showed up at a hospital with gunshot wounds, but it was not clear if they were the suspects. New and veteran state lawmakers are heading to Columbus to take their seats in Ohio's 130th General Assembly. Opening day ceremonies will be held today at the State House. The lawmakers' main focus will be passing a state spending blueprint for programs over the 2 years starting July 1st. Investigators are trying to figure out who may have killed up to 30 Canada geese and as many as 10 mallards. The animals were found dumped along the Chagrin River in northeast Ohio. Investigators found the birds last week. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I hope you're having a good afternoon hanging out with me today. Styx is in studio with me, and Styx brought up this judge in New York is
Judge Jeanine Pirro. Yeah,
they are publishing.
They published all of the legal gun permits in two counties around New York City.
So my question to you is: do you think that everything that you have should be public?
No.
Why?
I mean, even some public record stuff shouldn't be published. It's just insane. And she makes a very good point in her monologue that, I mean, in fact, I saw one of the county sheriffs. Actually, what they've done, 40% of the people on that list were either corrections officers or retired police officers.
Okay.
And so now you've got inmates telling these correction officers, we know where you live.
Okay.
And we know where your family's at.
Okay.
So you think a policeman that puts a gangbanger away, you think you should have a point and click map on the internet?
We point and click to people that have been incarcerated when they come home.
Only if they're sex offenders.
No. Because all sex offenders aren't sex offenders.
Some
sex offenders are classified as sex offenders and not sex offenders. And
well, we've had that discussion before. I agree with you on that.
I mean, we don't allow anyone to be forgiven. Unless we want to have them forgiven. And then maybe you're forgiven and maybe you're not forgiven. It all depends on how I feel. And if I like you.
But what about putting somebody's family in danger? I mean, there's a whole different ball of wax between a police officer or a judge that puts somebody in prison.
I don't think
and a sex offender.
But I mean, do you realize even even with your health care records, they now go to they will be going to a national database?
Yeah, I don't like that either. I mean, we are giving up our right to privacy by leaps and bounds. I was against the Patriot Act. Absolutely, I was against the Patriot Act. I'm against the Patriot Act. I'm against these drones. I'm against the red light cameras.
And where do these cameras go? Because not all of them are for catching you go through a stop sign. Some of them are just there.
Well, somebody told me one time, and I don't know if I believe it, that like in Salem they have them. They have cameras on the intersection.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to go back to all they're doing is sensing motion, and it changes the cadence of the red light, of the traffic lights to make traffic move better. But I'll be honest, since they put them in there, I haven't noticed traffic moving any better through Salem.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we have a whole lot of cameras going on. I mean, our privacy is gone.
That's right.
So... why would you publish people who own legal guns anyhow?
It was a political statement on their part, is what it was, because they're anti-gun.
Okay, you're anti-guns, but even so.
And the underlying thing was you're supposed to be afraid of your neighbor because your neighbor owns a gun. And personally, I hope my neighbors own guns. I'm perfectly happy with all of my neighbors owning guns. Actually, the more guns, the better.
I have issues. I mean, we have no privacy anymore, and I don't understand why we're allowing it to happen. I mean, you're talking about drones. Those drones are real.
I know. Well, we're letting it happen because you know, was it Benjamin Franklin said that those who would trade freedom for security deserve neither?
And that's where we are now?
I think so. You know, they're telling us we have to, instead of putting faith in our fellow Americans and realizing that we can protect ourselves and that the average American is a good person.
Okay.
We're putting our protection in the hands of a government, in the hands of the police force, in the hands of this person and that person, and in order for them to make us feel secure, we have to give up our freedoms.
Do you really believe this is going to come back and bite us in the butt?
Oh, I do, because they can't. They can't. They can't protect you.
Hey, Matt, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful, Matt.
You were cracking me up earlier talking about Stick's property and whether he has a neighbor within an eighth of a mile or not. That was pretty funny.
I'm telling you, you can't. I mean, at least my neighbor, I can, like, go across the backyard and go get a cup of sugar.
Right.
You gotta put your hiking boots on for to go to Stick's neighbors.
No, we take the ATV.
See what I mean?
That's funny. Hey, that judge you were talking about from New York, Sticks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I don't know if it was viral, but on Facebook they had a post going around pertaining to that very subject matter there, and the judge's address saying, "Well, the goose is good for the gander." I don't know if the address was accurate, but honestly. As far as being a gun owner, I don't know if I mind so much being put on a list. I think I would get robbed less. No?
Well, I've seen some things from former convicts that said, you know, you just gave us a map to whose houses to rob.
Right.
The ones without guns.
The ones without guns. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons the crime rate is lower in the country is guns and dogs.
No.
Yes. Yeah, go ask in the Youngstown City Jail or Mahoning County Jail, and you will find that they will say we don't break into houses in the country because of guns and dogs.
No,
they used to have a while back a TV show where there was a guy who was a professional cat burglar, and he robbed for 10-15 years. He got extraordinarily good at it. One time he got caught, went to prison, and they gave him opted him out of prison to give him an opportunity to show the FBI how and why he did things, and they made a TV show out of it. And sure enough, it was the fact of public information was out there, and he knew exactly what houses to hit because of some of these public records and knowing what these people would have in their houses, whether it be dogs or guns. Or, you know, if they were ex-military or not. A lot of stuff came into play, and he just hit the easy targets and made a bundle.
But, are we becoming too free with information? Because we got this Freedom of Information Act. Everything is transparent except for the government.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not a big fan of my name being put out there all, you know, with anything. I'm just kind of actually joking. I would rather the gun laws go away and people have to guess, okay, whose house to, you know, is going to be armed or not. I don't really like my name being out there, but, you know, I was kind of saying it as a joke. I don't mind being on the list. I really do mind being on any list. But, you know, I don't know. Freedom of information is one thing, but allowing personal information out, that's that fine line that we're walking.
And we're definitely walking.
Well, I think we need to look at where we've come as a society. I mean, that M1 Garand rifle that they fought World War II with was a semi-automatic rifle, fired a .30-06 caliber cartridge, and there were plenty of them came home with those guys. Nobody was shooting up schools. And in the 60s, a friend of mine came home from Germany. He got discharged from the Air Force in Germany. He brought two handguns in his carry-on the airplane with him.
I am so concerned, and local call, I'm going to pick you up in just a second. I am so concerned about the sensationalism of America. Because we are, I saw Gabby Gifford in Newtown, Connecticut yesterday. You know, because she got shot. Now she's a warrior for all guns, me, and locked up in cages. And I don't think we're thinking this through as the American people. And I understand that everybody shouldn't own a gun. I get that. Don't get me wrong. I get that wholeheartedly. But I don't, you know, this public information, this gun rallying, all these politicians changing their minds, NRA, all this kind of stuff, I think we're up for something that we shouldn't be up for.
Well, we need to trust our neighbor.
Trust my neighbor.
More guns, less crime.
Do I trust my neighbor, or do I just? I don't know if we trust our neighbor. What we need to put, we put God back in it. Definitely.
Well, yeah,
but we trust. I don't know about trusting my neighbor. We don't even know our neighbors anymore. You may know yours, even though they live a couple miles down the road. Matt, do you know your neighbor?
Eighth of a mile, Tracy, for Sticks. That's where he got the name Sticks, of course. He lives in the Sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I do know all my neighbors.
You know all your neighbors.
I mean...
Matt, do you know your neighbors?
Yeah, I do know them. I live in an area where I have a postage stamp property, and I do talk to all of them. And, you know, I have a community here. And I know who owns the guns and I know who doesn't, but I can tell you that there's a lot of people that avoid this part of my area because, you know, I'm talking about, you know, the kids that cause, you know, hell walking up and down the streets and doing whatever. They don't do that here. They know the neighbors around here, and we've made our presence known quite well.
Matt, can I ask a question? Because, you know, I'd say a dumb question, but no question is a dumb question.
Go ahead.
What is a postage stamp area?
Postage stamp lot.
What does that mean?
It's a very small lot. In other words, I don't really have to walk across too much of a yard to get sugar. I could almost put my hand out the window.
Oh. Yeah, we don't know that.
It's not a bad... You know, I preferred a property, and I wanted property before we moved here. And now with everything going on with the kids growing up and you know, life hitting you as it does, I'm almost happy that I don't have so much property to take care of. So it's not that bad.
Well, see, if you have a lot of property, it's real easy to take care of because you only cut the grass twice a year.
And why do you only cut your grass twice a year?
I cut the yard, but the rest of the grass we only cut twice a year, first cut in hay and second cut in hay.
Like a brush hog or something like
that. No. We cut it and bale it and sell it. But, yeah, you cut it twice a year.
Oh, you make money off that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So it's called a brush cut? What?
No. You mow the hay, and the hay dries, and you put it in a machine, and it makes it into squares, and you sell it.
You mow the hay?
Yeah.
Do you have to plant special grass to mow the hay?
Yes.
What kind
of... You got to take care of it.
Well, I understand. How do you take care of it?
Timothy and alfalfa, and you fertilize it.
You just don't let it grow?
And you let it get about 3 foot high, and you cut it.
But hold on. But you plant special kind of grass for the mow the hay.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of it.
Well, you got to fertilize
it. And you got to maintain it and fertilize it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you. Whatever grows, grows, and you just.
Oh, then you don't make no money on that, though.
Why not?
Because they don't want to. Because they only want the best stuff to feed their horses. And horse people got all the money. Horse people got all the money. I saw last summer.
Matt, you live out where the horse people are, don't you?
Well, sort of. Yeah. I mean, strangely enough, my sister-in-law and a couple friends of mine own race horses. So I'm kind of familiar with what Sticks is talking about, and he's right. A lot of them go out to some of these properties and. There are fields of this alfalfa and hay that come down, you know, twice a year, and that's where they get their feed from.
Wow. So that's a whole business in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I ask you, how much do you get paid for hoeing the hay, the mowing the hay, holding the hay,
Depends what the market is. I've sold hay for $2 a bale, and I've sold it for $10 a bale.
And how many bales can you get out of the hay?
That field usually makes about $1,000 a year.
1,000 bales a year?
1,000 bales of hay a year, yeah.
And so you go $3 a day times 1,000 mm-hmm. days, and then you multiply that and make $3,000.
Great.
Hey, I'm in the wrong business, y'all.
That pays a bill somewhere, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm saying. You could pay, you know, for a heating bill out there.
Pays taxes.
You know, it's funny how, you know, there are certain things that people have resources to.
Well,
and they don't know that they can actually capitalize on them. I just thought I'd bring that
mm-hmm.
up, too. Because, I mean, seriously, when you're talking about bailing, I mean, I've seen people do it. I've seen the areas where the hay is, and people have all this land, and they, you know, they let the grass grow, and, you know, I just thought and then they mow it down. I didn't know what they were doing, you know.
Well, it's a crop. It's a crop like any other crop, and it has to be tended.
That is just so, that's amazing to me.
But it goes with how you're raised and what you learn growing up. I mean, ever since I've gotten out of the Navy, I've filed a Schedule F. It's a farm schedule.
So you're always farming something.
We had a 2-acre piece of property, and I was filing a Schedule F because I was raising hogs.
Out on the east side of Youngstown, for those of you who listen to us nationally, we're in Ohio. We're in Youngstown, Ohio. It's a rural agricultural state. And there's tons of vacant land out there.
Mm-hmm.
Tons. Are you telling me that we could actually go in there and start capitalizing on that? And I mean,
if it
ain't nothing but bushel and hay?
Well, if it hasn't, I mean, some of these brownfields, I don't know if the soil would grow. But yeah, if you've got open land and you can get the soil to grow it, sure you could.
Hmm.
I mean, there's no reason a lot of this land in town couldn't be used for little truck farms.
What are truck farms?
Little vegetable farms. I got a friend down by Canfield. He rents. He's got a 20-acre piece of land, and he rents his land to a couple of guys from Cleveland every year.
Yeah.
They come down. They plant tomatoes and peppers and pumpkins, and then they take them to farmers market in Cleveland.
Now they have community gardens, whatever that is, and people come and they plant stuff, and then I guess they harvest it and they take it home for the neighborhood or whatever that is. But we have vacant lots of land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about the east out on the Sharon line. There are many vacant lots of land because the city pretty much owns it or taxes. Could we not capitalize on some of that?
There's a lot of things you could do with that. I mean, land, you can do anything you want with land. You know, like I said, your community garden thing, you could
truck farm.
Lease it out for a larger operation where you would have one guy that would control several acres and he would put vegetables in it to take to farmers markets and that kind of thing.
Have we the number 347-945-5229
There's your zoning again. I bet you can't have livestock out there.
I don't know because there was a guy who I had on here and he was having a problem because he was farming shrimp. He had a shrimp farm out there, and they were having issues out there with that. I don't know if you can farm out there or not.
Well, you know, you gotta be careful about how much of a business you make it into too, like.
Why?
Farm markets and stuff, because then you're starting to invite the government in with the EPA and the FDA and the whole deal, and eventually you make it too much of a business, well, you're going to go, you know, the way of everybody else who's having problems, so.
I don't understand that. You want me to make money, but you don't want me to make anything. I don't get that, because you can't make money if you don't make something, and right now, America is becoming an area where we are very shallow in manufacturing. Is it me or?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I agree with that. I think we are getting very shallow with manufacturing. I think, and I think within the next year or two, you're going to see an exodus of corporations and manufacturing leave the country for just the purposes of things like this latest bill that went through Congress raising taxes on families, not individuals, on families over $450,000 a year. This is going to hit very hard, and until we start easing up on these corporations with taxes, regulations, these new government entities that keep popping up, Until we start easing up on them, we're just going to continue to see a thinning of manufacturing in America.
Well, I haven't done the research on this, so I don't know if it's true, but this came across my Facebook the other day. It's House Rule 193 would force farmers to pay a fee on saved seeds.
I don't understand. Saved seeds, because that's an asset?
I read some of the article, and it said if you're using Monsanto seed, you're going to have to pay a fee to Monsanto if you save seeds from what you've planted using their original seed.
Are you guys kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. That's where we're going.
I'm not quite sure if we're really understanding what's going on here. I understand that in the healthcare bill that somehow the NRA got something inside of the bill.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that too?
Actually, I like it. I read it. I read the language.
So I don't understand why would doctors start asking me questions, do I own a firearm?
Let's find it.
Here. What does me owning a firearm have to do with my health when I go to the doctor? I mean, he's already asked. I mean, there are certain things that they're paying these doctors to ask people so they can put them into a national registry. And one of them is, do you smoke? So why would you even remotely ask me as a physician if I own a firearm? Matt, do you know? Do you know?
Yeah, it would have to have something to do with your mental state or something like that.
Not necessarily. I mean, if I'm crazy, you ought to tell me I'm crazy and I shouldn't own a firearm, but you shouldn't ask me. Because what do you think, I'm going to come out and say, oh, yeah, I own an artillery?
You'd be surprised at people that do. Front page, Blaze front page, it says.
Blaze had it? Because I read about this last night when I came in. And I'm like, how in the world did the NRA get into the Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act? Hey, the number 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. But when I come back, I've got one more question for you guys. I want to know, we didn't go off the cliff. But I don't know what we got. As Republicans, they say that they're working this out. But what did they actually get for not going off the cliff?
The only thing McConnell's saying they got was that the tax rates are permanent now.
So how did that represent the ideals of the Republican Party?
I'm telling you, I think John Boehner and the leadership of the Republican Party has been so demonized by the press that they just want to go along, get along, that they don't want to look obstructionist anymore.
Come on. I'm taking a break, Stick. That's just, come on.
Hey, they're allowed to, going back to this gun thing, they're allowed to ask you about it, but they're not allowed to document.
Why are you asking me about it? I don't understand. I'll be right back, but why are you asking me if I own a gun when I go to the doctor? I don't have a gunshot wound. I got a headache.
It's supposed to be, I guess it's supposed to be for to keep from raising your insurance rates, because I guess they're afraid, the insurance companies are afraid you'll shoot yourself or something. That's what I'm reading here in this article.
I'll be right back. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
ABC News, New York.
Secretary of State Clinton greeted reporters as she faced them for the first time since returning to work.
I really missed you all. I wouldn't say that under normal circumstances.
Clinton was hospitalized last week for a blood clot in her skull. Another cabinet announcement could come before the end of the week. White House Chief of Staff Jack Lew, reportedly for Treasury Secretary. The airline's latest attempt to raise prices? Grounded.
United tried to lead off a new fare hike, bumping up ticket prices across the country. Delta then matched what United did, but nobody else followed. Specifically, Southwest didn't take the bait. In recent years, Southwest has been the one the rest of the airlines follow, and if Southwest doesn't bump up fares, nobody else does either. So now United and Delta have rolled back their fare increases. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Dow is up 53 points. The Nasdaq is ahead 11. This is ABC News.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Julian, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
What makes Safe Light different? Well, with Safe Light, you get the reliability of America's largest auto glass company. Every windshield we replace is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered coast to coast. Plus, a new windshield is the perfect time to get new windshield wipers. Safe Light can do that, too.
Just call 800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com or ask your insurance company for Safe Light.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
It's a big anniversary for the London subway system. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers.
For 150 years, Londoners have been riding along in a hole in the ground. The subway system, known as the Tube here by the locals, is the world's oldest and longest. Just hop on. And you can travel just under 250 miles up and down the rails. As to who you'll see just about everyone. Young and old, rich and poor, just under 1.2 billion travel the Tube each year. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Well, Judgment Day has arrived for Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa. They will learn this afternoon whether they've been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame during their first appearances on the ballot. Amid allegations of steroid use involving the biggest names in the game, this could be just the second time in more than four decades that baseball writers don't elect anyone to the Hall. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer has America's freshest lineup of new and exciting vehicles. Now, get incredible lease deals on an all-new, fuel-efficient 2013 Escape. For details, visit drive1ohio.com.
Hi, I'm Scott, manager at Buckeye Firearms.
If you're already a customer, then you've discovered the Buckeye Advantage, and we thank you for your support.
If you're new to Buckeye, let me tell you a little about it.
We are a national award-winning business and an A-rated company with the Better Business Bureau.
We support shooting sports through local clubs and youth organizations.
We have the largest selection of firearms in the region,
and I am proud that it is my job to take care of you, our loyal customers. Stop and see us at Rogers, Austintown, and on Route 14 in Streetsboro, and rediscover the meaning of customer service.
Hi, I'm Scott, manager at Buckeye Firearms.
If you're already a customer, then you've discovered the Buckeye Advantage, and we thank you for your support.
If you're new to Buckeye, let me tell you a little about it.
We are a national award-winning business and an A-rated company with the Better Business Bureau.
We support shooting sports through local clubs and youth organizations.
We have the largest selection of firearms in the region,
and I am proud that it is my job to take care of you, our loyal customers. Stop and see us at Rogers, Austintown, and on Route 14 in Streetsboro, and rediscover the meaning of customer service.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I hope you're having a good day. I'm sitting here talking with Styx, and we want you to call in. We've got a guest coming on at 1:30, and he's going to be talking about some energy and solid waste. And we're going to...
I'm telling you, it's the future.
He's telling me that trash is the future.
Trash is the future.
So the movie Back to the Future is now the present.
That's right.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. What did I ask before? We talked about the health care and the guns.
Oh, the health care and the guns, yeah.
We talked about that. We talked about the open disclosure of everything.
And you were under the assumption Harry Reid didn't know it was in there.
Right, but Harry Reid knew it was in there.
Because he put it in
there. I thought he was against the guns. I thought he was a Democrat.
He was before guns before he was against guns.
So he was against guns, but now he's for guns.
No, he was for guns then, and he's against guns now.
He's against guns now.
Yeah, it says he told an advisor who spoke off the record recently told CNN that the senator is in a different place than he was in 2010 when it comes to firearms.
So what changed his mind? Because I know he was a pro-gun guy. I know that. He's gotten a lot of money from the NRA. But why would the NRA be inside the health care bill? And why is that a lot of people that voted for the Health Care Affordable Act did not know about the gun issue being inside of it? And last night they said they would have pulled it out, but if they had pulled it out, that may have tanked the whole bill, so they let it slide.
That's a cliff note. The language that I'm reading here basically doesn't want any data to go to insurance companies. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm gathering through this article and through the actual language in the bill.
But why would they be asking anyhow? What remotely would you be asking those questions for? Why?
Who pays the doc?
The insurance company.
So if the insurance company wants to raise rates on gun owners, they got to get the doc to ask the question.
But why would they even remotely think to ask that question? That's
what insurance companies do. They got people that sit in rooms and think around ways that they're going to end up taking losses and try to figure out how to mitigate those losses.
I'm having a problem right now going to Giant Eagle and giving them my Giant Eagle card. It gives them too much information about me.
Everybody's got a card now.
I know. And so
got a card.
Everybody got a card. And it's not a credit card. And you can't get the coupons. You can't get the savings unless you show them the card. Do you know how much information you get from that card? They know if I'm an alcoholic. They know if I'm a female. They know how many people in the house. They know what kind of income I have. They know everything from that card.
Right. They sure do.
Where's my privacy?
Don't use a card.
I got to get the savings. I have no money. I'm not.
Then go to Walmart instead of Giant Eagle.
Walmart doesn't have a card.
Walmart does not have a card.
I don't do Walmart.
Then do Aldi's. Aldi's doesn't have a card either.
I do IGA. IGA doesn't have a card.
I like Aldi's.
I don't like Aldi's.
I love Aldi's.
Save a lot.
Well, I think Aldi's better to save a lot.
No. Aldi's got everything but the kitchen sink in there. They can't be good at anything. Are they advertising with a shirt?
We're going to have to sign them up.
some people don't. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, look at this. I mean, Walgreens has a card. Rite Aid's got a card. CVS got a card.
Dick's Sporting Goods got a card.
They all. Macy's. I mean, look at what's going on here. And they say that they don't share information, but they do.
Not only do they share information, but they target. If they get, as soon as they get your email address, then they're hooked in with Google.
Yeah, I mean,
and then they can advertise to you. Then they can advertise to you based on what your interests are when you click on the internet.
Hey, the number. That's just amazing about what's going on in America, and you know.
Well, it's how much convenience are you willing to forego to maintain your privacy is what it's going to boil down to.
What privacy?
If you want to, you can still be private in the United States, but you're
going
to give up all your conveniences.
How are you going to be private? Live completely off the grid?
No, you don't have to live completely off the grid, but pay for everything with cash.
Okay.
Don't get anybody's cards.
You can't save any money that way.
You're giving up a convenience for privacy.
That inconvenience. I need them, you know, come on now.
You know what, though?
That's
absolutely true. You can't save any money. Like I've told you before, Tracy, my wife is a coupon queen. She's the one, she goes out, gets the deals. We save a lot of money on these coupons. Unfortunately, a lot of these deals come from these cards. I'd say probably 60 to 70% of the savings that she gets comes because she has a certain card that she uses at stores.
Absolutely.
And without those cards, you know, you're kind of screwed if you're looking to save the big money. So, you know, it's kind of.
If you don't have a card, if you don't have a card, you can't get the double coupon. You can't get the savings and the coupon slip. You can't do any of that unless you got the card.
Right. Yeah. And she gets mad at me if I go to a store and don't take a card with me. She'll get
Absolutely. Literally
angry, foaming at the mouth, angry.
So my and what are we walking into? I mean, are we really going into this future of America with our eyes wide open or our eyes wide shut? Because I'm serious. I mean, look at what we're talking about. You know, you got they put every registered gun owner, legal gun owner, they put their information in a database and advertised it.
That's why
I don't want my name advertised.
That's why we don't need registered guns.
I'm in the middle of the registration because I believe that we don't have to know where the guns are, but I believe that you should not own a gun if you're not mentally stable to get it. And the only way that you can do that is to register it. Because but we don't want to deal with the people who are mentally ill. I mean, seriously.
See, I don't trust the government to know who has the firearms because I don't trust them because they will come and take them because they've done it throughout history. It always follows the same pattern. Register guns, confiscate guns.
Do you think that America will get that bad?
I think there is a certain segment of the population living in the urban areas that are more than happy to give up all of their rights for a free check. And I've said that this before, and I'll say it again. I'm afraid the country is fragmenting into urban and rural. And the problem is the urban has the votes, and the urban is driving the agenda, and the rural will not put up with it forever.
Grace,
may I rant for a second? Do you have any other calls on?
Please.
You asked before the break, you kind of mentioned if we think that we actually went over the fiscal cliff or not. I think we didn't just go over the fiscal cliff. I think we went over the cliff of the country. I think this country over this past election decided to go down a certain path. I think there's way too many people willing to accept the liberal ideology. I think there's way too many conservatives that don't understand how severe this or the condition this country was in before the last election. Now, Mitt Romney was not the answer. He wasn't the savior. He wasn't the God. All right. But we were teetering off a cliff. We were ready to go and we've fallen. The only thing we had to grab onto was a little midget instead of a big strong man. OK. And that midget was Mitt Romney. Well, we just let ourselves go. Morally, we're corrupt as a country. Fiscally, we're completely irresponsible. And I think what needs to be done in this country, and this is my own personal opinion, I think conservatism needs to get out of the way. I think this country needs to crash as fast as possible so that the full view of cause and effect is in view. We need to – so the only person left in the end holding the bag is the progressive liberal that I believe, and a lot of people that I talk to, including some people on this show, believe is the actual problem. I think the faster it happens, the better. That way we can be able to rebuild this country knowing what the problems were and have the majority of the country who actually saw who was responsible and what the reasons were. I think that's what needs to happen. I hate to sound so derogatory about it, but I think we're just going to continue down the path of Rome, and I say get out of the – I still bring up the issues and the problems – but as conservatives, get out of the way and let it happen. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. Hold on. I hate to agree with Jeff.
That's scary.
I know. And don't tell me. But you know, when I look at gun violence that in the inner city in the last 30 years. And how it has grown to get to this point right now. I think that, you know, when I look at drugs and how it came about, and remember, they didn't do anything about it when it first started. We have to be honest, when drugs really started to swell and gang violence started to really take over, they really did not do anything to curb it and to stop it, but they did feed the beast. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Now we are to a situation where now, because of the fear of guns in the inner city on the crime that we have and of the mass shootings that we have in the rural and suburban areas, we have allowed a sensationalism to now put us into the area of fear.
But it's the sensationalism that's driving this. Do you realize that teachers in Utah – are permitted to carry concealed in the classroom?
Texas,
there hasn't been, in Texas too, and there has not been a mass shooting in either one of those states, to my knowledge.
But again, we have sensationalized fear to the point where now we're getting ready to make emotional decisions based upon limited acts. When we've been dealing with this same situation in the inner city, because the inner city is going to drive this,
never let a good crisis go to waste.
Absolutely. Because the inner city, and hold on, Alex, the inner city is going to drive this, and they are. That's why you see Bloomberg driving this machine right now. You see the inner cities and the major cities driving this issue right now to make sure that there becomes a regulation on gun ownership.
Tracy, be honest with me.
What?
If the good people in the inner city own guns, would there be as much crime? That's what I'm saying.
Yes. 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 And I'll tell you why.
Please.
Thank you, Tracy, for being honest. Thank you.
The reason why is because we have bred an inner city to fear one another. Because the people in the inner city do have guns. They do have guns. Because remember, we're only looking at a small percentage of the populace of the inner city that deals with the negative aspect. You see, but the guns that are being used on the street are the illegal guns and are the guns that should not be a part of the undesirable society of the inner city. But it affects me as a gun owner who's a legal citizen because my son got shot.
And to come back to what you're saying, Tracy, also, I don't know, whoever has a gun, let's say he's mad or road rage and things like that, he could come with a gun and shoot me.
Stanley.
Go ahead.
I carry a gun with me every place I go, every day. I have never unholstered my firearm.
Yeah, but that's you, Six. That's not everybody. That's
Stanley, most people can carry a gun and not shoot people because you cut them off. I mean, somebody cut in front of me the other day.
Just cutting off. It could be anything. It could be an argument. It could be somebody is shooting another person because
That's not how it works.
Stanley, have you ever owned a gun?
No, I don't want to know nothing about guns.
Wait a minute. So you're wanting to drive gun legislation. You've never owned a gun. You've never fired a gun. You don't want to know anything about guns. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because we have a problem, like I said many times.
We don't have a problem with guns,
yes,
Stanley.
Yes, we do. We are the
we have a problem with people.
Yeah, we have a problem with people, but we're the
Stanley,
country that has the
Stanley,
most... Stanley, go ahead.
What type of firearm commits the most murders?
I don't know, and I don't care. I just don't like the mentality that we have as a gun-violent country that we are. I don't like that mentality.
But gun owners, by and large, are not violent people.
Well...
That's what you don't understand. You don't know gun owners.
No, I don't believe... I don't agree with that. We are the country who has the most murder because of guns.
Listen, Stanley. Let's look at the cause and effect of why we are the way we are.
And don't forget... Britain's violent crime rate is 3 times that of the United States. They're just not using guns. They're beating each other to death with baseball bats.
And they have
35 murders.
Stanley.
35 killing compared to 11,000 in America. Come on.
You are missing. Listen, Stanley. Listen to what I'm saying. We have the people that are using firearms. We have bred a society of people who use firearms for reasons that they should not, based upon how we have raised them and caused them to not respect the power of life. We need to understand that. It really is not that the average, normal firearm owner in America. Grandma's been carrying her 45 in her purse for a very long time, and she's never shot anyone, but has always let you know, if you cross me and hurt my children, I will shoot you.
Absolutely. Light them up like a Christmas tree.
It's so bad she's never cleaned her gun and never fired her gun. And what I'm saying, Stanley, what we're doing is we are sensationalizing the crimes of what's going on in America, but we are not dealing with the root of the problem that we have in America when it comes to violence.
We don't want to discuss that
route because we don't want to deal with it because it makes too much money and we do too much for it.
Well, we don't want to discuss that, and we don't want to discuss the gun problem that we have in this country.
We don't have a gun.
Yes, we do.
We do not, Stanley.
Yes, we
Stanley,
do. Maybe you don't.
Firearms murders have gone down in the last decade.
You don't believe it's safe, but I do.
It all goes by where you live. You live in an inner city where we are affected by gun violence on an ongoing basis. And the reason why we are affected by gun violence on an ongoing basis is because they will not deal with the root problem that goes on in our communities. We need to be honest with that. The reason why I have a cousin who is now 6 feet under is because of the root problem of a community, that we will not deal with it.
I agree with you, Tracy.
And the problem is not the person who had it was not the gun that caused him to shoot him. The problem was the person that we allowed to walk the streets uneducated, uninformed, and with no passion, with no parenting. We did that ourselves.
Right, you know, if I'm determined to kill my neighbor, which I'm not, but if I'm determined to kill my neighbor, and
I'm going to do it anyhow.
Yeah, you're going to do it anyhow. I'm not saying you are, but if we have more laws, more strict that doesn't allow you to have a gun, we've done it in many countries. It's not
Stanley, how's that working out in Mexico?
The countries that Stan is talking about are the countries that have a government that is overpowering of the people. Therefore, the crime then shifts to the government. China, a lot of people bring up China. I'm going to bring up China again. There are more gun crimes that aren't recorded from the Chinese government than from its citizenry because that's how they keep their citizenry in check. The Chinese government does the gun crimes. That's just not recorded.
And Stanley, go on Wikipedia and look at the murder rates, the gun violence rates around the world. It's in a color-coded map. Look at Mexico.
And I have.
It's virtually impossible for a civilian to own a firearm in Mexico, and it's not even legal to own a toy that looks like a real firearm. And it's one of the darkest blues. It's got the highest murder rate in the world, one of the highest rates. South Africa, Russia.
No. Let's go home. Let's see. I don't want to go across the pond. But let me bring this home.
Chicago.
Let's look at Chicago. Chicago has one of the strictest Illinois has one of the strictest gun ownership laws in the country.
You're not allowed to take your firearm outside of your home.
And they shoot people
Chicago.
Up like it's a business. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, I wanted to agree with a lot of what Styx was saying, you know, good afternoon, everybody, Tracy, Styx, Stanley. But I wanted to point out some facts here. And I put a video on my Facebook for you to check out, Tracy. It talks about this very thing, that there's obviously an agenda going on that they're trying to manipulate the masses with, about this whole gun violence thing, because if you look at the actual statistics, yeah, it's true that, you know, a lot of people compare the United States with the UK. We have a higher murder rate by guns. That's true. But their violent crime rate is three times as ours, you know, and they've completely disarmed, you know, in the UK. And so most of the gun deaths, most of the homicides here in this country, the vast majority of them, this guy basically, from the FBI statistics shows that most of them are in highly populated cities of population of more than 250,000. That's the vast majority of all the murders, and of those murders, the vast majority are prohibition related, with drugs, you know, marijuana, and so. But nobody's talking about that, you know. You know, but they want to scapegoat rifles and all kinds of nonsense, high capacity magazines or whatever, and nobody's really talking about what is the core of the issue, like you're saying, Tracy, because, you know, most of these deaths are drug related, you know, that are by gun. And the other thing is that the if you look at the FBI website, the violent crime, and all violent crime, including murder, is down 50% in the last 20 years. And it only keeps going down.
Absolutely. You know, Professor John Lott wrote a very good study titled More Guns, Less Crime. And he found that cities and municipalities and places where they instituted shall issue concealed carry permits, the violent crime rate immediately dropped.
But this is the issue in a nutshell. If we really want to, we won't deal with the systemic root problems that cause violence in America.
It's drugs.
It's drugs. It's alcohol.
It's prohibition.
It's drugs, alcohol,
it's the prohibition,
and lack of education.
It's prohibition. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that brought Al Capone up.
Yeah.
Prohibition created organized crime in this country.
Okay.
Our drug laws. I got to agree with Alex on this one. Our drug laws is what's creating this underground organized crime now.
See, I don't agree because it's not organized anymore.
Well, it doesn't have to be organized.
It's chaotic.
But that's what's causing the crime. That's what's causing the vast majority of the crime, is the government prohibition. And this goes back to my point. It was on your show like some time back where I was saying that, why I feel that the moral fiber of the country, you know, if it affected the mainstream the way that it affects poor people and particularly black people, then they would care like it did with the prohibition of alcohol. And it was like, you know, the end with this, they repealed that amendment to the Constitution. But the fact that, it doesn't, you need to be responsible for your own choices. You know, this is my major problem with this whole thing, and people just ignore it, and then in the process, it's not just going to hurt us; it's hurting the whole country, because these fascists in government, they're using this to try to disarm everyone. And so and this is what we have to realize. It's just like with Nazi Germany. Just because they came for your neighbor, I mean, or the people down the street, you know, you're not worried about it. We need to come together as Americans and say, you know what, this isn't right if it's happening to my fellow American, because it just might happen to me. And that's what's about to happen.
But see, this is the problem that I have. Alex, if they had allowed it to stay the way that it was, to where it was open, it was legal, and you did what you choose, and if you wanted to get high, that was your business. If you didn't, that was your business. But that's not what they did. They didn't feed alcohol to people except for the Indians, and they made sure that they're now extinct. So what they've done is they fed the drugs into a populace of people.
Oh, yeah. The CIA has been busted four times in the 90s, smuggling hundreds of millions of dollars of cocaine and marijuana into the country. I mean, so it's documented fact that our government is doing this to us.
So,
this is insane.
So they fed it to us. And see, once you fed a substance into a populace of people, you cannot go back in and make it a free-for-all. It'd be different. It's one thing if I have choice, it's open to all, and it's free, and it's out there. But look at what we've done. We have fed a populace, and now we want to take the populace and say, now you can go ahead and make it legal, and it's going to secure all of our drug crimes on the street.
We've done it with alcohol, though.
Right now, alcohol is a massive killer of people.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot more
alcohol
than drugs.
Alcohol is killing people. Alcohol is bad. And illegalizing marijuana would not be good for the fabric of America, because we've already been indoctrinated, because our young people are now trying marijuana earlier and earlier in life. It's like cigarettes. You know, it was all cool to smoke, you know, cigarettes in the movies in the 50s. And now, you know, we found out it'll kill you, and we got folks dropping dead today because they can't put down that nicotine.
I have to disagree with you. I think it would be good for the country.
Why?
Because the country, the founding principles of this nation is freedom, and so it's not freedom. It's not the freedom to do good. It's freedom to live and die by your own choices.
Alex, you have taken the freedom. What you did was you made it a crave. You made me crave for it, and now you want to make it free. What it will do is I've lost my control, and I will overconsume it, and I will die from it. And the people that will die the quickest and the earliest, and the majority of them will be people of the inner city. And listen, I got a guest coming on, and I got to go switch hats. I'm going to play a break really quick, and then I'm going to pick him up. He is from the Ohio Solid Waste. The number is 347-945-5229. Ron, is that you?
Yes, we're here.
Give me 1 minute. I'm going to play a real quick spot, and I'll pull you up in just a second.
Thank you.
We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Okay. Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. An Austin Town woman was attacked in her home by two men who were reportedly looking for her boyfriend. The incident happened Friday night. One of the men who knocked open the door threatened the woman with a gun. The boyfriend then returned home, fired his gun, and the suspects fled on foot. Two men later showed up at a hospital with gunshot wounds, but it was not clear if they were the suspects. New and veteran state lawmakers are heading to Columbus to take their seats in Ohio's 130th General Assembly. Opening day ceremonies will be held today at the State House. The lawmakers' main focus will be passing a state spending blueprint for programs over the 2 years starting July 1st. Investigators are trying to figure out who may have killed up to 30 Canada geese and as many as 10 mallards. The animals were found dumped along the Chagrin River in northeast Ohio. Investigators found the birds last week. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I have Ron Mills with me, and he is from Ohio Solid Waste. And Sticks went out and found this gentleman and said, listen, you got to hear what they're doing down there. And they're making energy out of trash. And I said, it sounds like the movie Back to the Future. And so he went out and found him, and I'm going to let Sticks take the lead on this. Hi, Ron, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Tell us, you know, are we really back to the future, for real?
Well, yes, sort of. First of all, let me say that when I was appointed to this position, and this is a public agency, it's the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio, SWACO. We go by SWACO. We are a creature of state statute. We are one of over 50 solid waste districts throughout the state. In our jurisdiction is all of Franklin County, which is Columbus and its suburbs. I was appointed to this position in 2007 with about 25 years of private sector experience, and the challenge that was before me was to straighten out this organization's finances because, frankly, it was a mess. And so I brought that business approach to operating a public agency. And one of the things that we've been working on for the last 3 years, since 2009, has been to take advantage of the transitions that are occurring in the solid waste refuse management industry to utilize proven but effective contemporary technologies that extract value out of waste instead of just having to throw it in the landfill and pay for the cost and charge citizens and businesses money to have to get rid of it. Let's try to turn it around from something we have to pay money for to something that will generate revenue. So a little over a year ago, we went through a process and selected a company, private sector company, to partner with to take our landfill gas that occurs naturally from the decomposition of the trash we put into our landfill and creates methane gas as a byproduct that we capture and burn off in accordance with federal requirements. And we wanted to capture that gas and turn it into natural gas to be used as a fuel. To give you an idea of the scope of what we're talking about, And we run a fairly large landfill serving the entire Columbus area, but we produce enough natural gas as a byproduct to fuel the entire public fleets. That would be police, fire, refuse collection, dog catcher, everything. And enough gas to completely fuel the fleets of Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Columbus combined all year long. So how do we capture that gas and put it back into the stream of commerce? The company we selected has a proprietary technology that can clean that landfill gas to pipeline quality. And under the contract we signed late last year, in the fall of last year, they will build at their cost, no cost to us, a facility that will clean that gas right here at the landfill. They will construct an interconnect to the transcontinental pipeline that runs from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they are going to market this gas largely on the West Coast. Sweco will share in the revenue that is produced out of the sale of that gas. Under the contract, we will receive 22.5% of the gross revenues, and then the pipeline cost will be deducted from that. But what it translates into as far as the taxpayers and ratepayers of Franklin County and Columbus are concerned is a revenue stream of at least $3 to $3.5 million per year back to Sweco, which we can use to maintain our infrastructure and cover our costs of providing service without having to go back to those taxpayers as often for increases in their rates, or the magnitude of the rates will be much less, even if we do occasionally need additional revenue. But we plan to move well beyond even that landfill gas project and extract fuel and commodities right out of the mixed waste stream. And that project, the first of many projects, we launched just yesterday. You'll find that on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch this morning. And that project alone will generate an additional $1.3 million minimum back to Sweco per year. So as we proceed down this path, the ultimate vision is to turn the waste into a valuable product that can generate money back to Sweco so we can reduce reliance on taxpayers and tax dollars. In the process, is a residual effect, generate jobs and promote economic development here in Central Ohio. The project that we launched yesterday will initially provide 300 full-time jobs right here in the Columbus area. And as we move forward, we're counting on hundreds more jobs to be developed as we move forward with the extraction of value out of the waste stream.
Yeah, do you remember talking to me? We met at the filling station one morning here about a month ago, a little over a month ago.
I was filling my natural gas vehicle.
That's right. That's right. Would you tell the folks about that particular enterprise? Because I don't think they realize what's going on with that.
Well, Sweco has been converting its fleet from conventional fuels to natural gas, the same material that comes out of our landfill. And so we have somewhere between 12 and 15 vehicles now that are equipped to burn only natural gas. We have 7 filling stations for natural gas vehicles here in the Columbus metropolitan area. The particular Honda Civic that I drive was built right at the Marysville plant, came off the assembly line, fully equipped as a natural gas vehicle. In fact, we bought it off of a dealer lot in Newark, where it was for sale. So it is an ideal commuter car. It gets about 35 to 40 miles per gasoline gallon equivalent. Right now, I'm paying $2.25 per gasoline gallon equivalent compared to the pump prices that you see for conventional gasoline, and even higher for diesel fuel. And the vehicle burns cleaner, has fewer emissions, has less maintenance costs associated with it compared to gasoline engines. So what's not to like? One of the challenges right now is I cannot drive it to Youngstown and back, because there are not filling stations for that type of vehicle out along the interstate highways or in the rural parts of the state. But eventually,
there is one. There is one in Canton. There is one in Canton. It's a SARTA station, public SARTA station.
That sounds good. We'll put that on our map.
Yeah, it needs to go there now, and also. These stations that you're operating, they are open to the public, aren't they?
Yes. Well, ours is not. Ours is only for our own fleet, but all of the others are open to the public if you set an account up with the entities that operate those.
So the station that we met at was not one of yours then?
It was not. That is a privately owned one by Quasar Energy, which is operating under a contract with Sweco and the City of Columbus to take sewage sludge as well as organic wastes from entities in Columbus, such as the Anheuser-Busch Brewery on the north side of Columbus. Organics go to this digester. They produce the methane gas from the digested organics. Much of that methane is converted through an engines to electricity and goes onto the electric grid. Some of it gets sold as clean gas for vehicle use on site. So that is open to the public.
There's not a lot of conversation about this in the public arena.
Not as much as there should be, but I think with what's developing in the industry and the lead role that Sweco's taking, you're going to hear more about it as time goes along. Some of the barriers to other landfills doing this include the fact that the Sweco landfill is owned and operated by us. And we are a public agency, but we operate as much as a business as we possibly can. And so our incentives are to reduce the waste stream, to not have to continue to charge our ratepayers and taxpayers more and more money every year to get rid of the waste, but to find a way to turn that around into a revenue-producing operation that will cut the dependence as much as possible with the taxpayer. As much as I love private business, the incentive for privately operated landfills aren't driven the same way because their profit comes out of operating those landfills. So they're in business of providing service, but also making their profit out of continuing those types of business models. We want to change the business model. And that means getting private companies with technologies that you wouldn't ordinarily associate with refuse management, refuse collection, or landfill operation. These are companies that will be producing such things as high-grade organic polymers, out of paper that's in the waste stream for use in the those polymers are in demand in the digital technology industry. Same way with high-grade organic adhesives that are in demand in various industrial applications. This is not your normal group of parties that have been directly involved in the refuse management industry up to this point. However, we are seeing this transition occur right before our eyes, where because the technologies are there and they're proven, we are seeing a shift in the industry that will be away from landfilling toward these more advanced applications. And so it will happen. It's only a matter of time.
Well, wouldn't the private operators, with the fuel costs the way they are, wouldn't it be behoove the private operators to be capturing their own methane, at least to run their own equipment on?
One would think so, but the focus of private landfill operators in this country has been on the revenue that they generate from operating the landfill and picking up your trash from the curb and transporting it to the landfill. While they operate large fleets, that historically has been a very profitable operation to charge you money to pick up the trash from the curb and bury it in the landfill. And if their fuel costs go up, most of their contracts with municipalities, private businesses, or even private citizens allow them to pass through those types of increased operating costs right through to the consumer. So why change a business model that is reaping significant profits year in and year out if you don't need to? Many of these companies view what we are doing as out of the box, risky. Why do we need to go there? We're making plenty of money doing what we're doing. But there are other private companies who see the opportunity to enter this market and to take advantage of these opportunities. And that's what America is all about. It's a competition, open marketplace, and advancing and transitioning industries. Some will lag behind. Some companies won't be on board. They'll lag behind. I'm sure that the buggy whip factory that was operating in 1906 in Youngstown didn't agree that Ford's motor cars were going to be the future. And they went out, and those buggy whip plants went out of business.
They wasn't going to last.
Pardon me?
You hear stories that they say that there's no way that could last. Yeah. You know, the cars could actually become anything.
Yeah.
Just like television would never go anywhere.
You got it.
Now, how much not in my backyard problem do you run into? Because there was a large landfill out on Courtney Road in Smith Township, Mahoning County, and there was a company wanted to come in, and they were actually going to tap the gas right there and put in a power plant. And it was finally shut down basically because it was a not-in-my-backyard deal from the neighbors.
Well, we work very closely with our neighbors and our host communities. We have an outstanding relationship. We have invested the time to inform them about the technologies that we're using and how it will not create problems either in terms of truck traffic or in terms of noise, dust, odors, air pollution, or any of that sort of thing. We are using systems and technologies that do not involve open incineration. These are not burning processes that'll generate smoke and off gases through combustion. These are all in totally enclosed systems. And they are going to be providing hundreds of jobs here in the local community. So,
what kind of jobs are we talking about in South Carolina? I'm going to pull you up. But what kind of jobs are we talking about? What are we looking at? What kind of skill set do I need to have to come and work for you?
It's going to be a whole variety of things that range from the operation of a large greenhouse complex to produce organic vegetables, to a manufacturing facility to produce everything from building products to photovoltaic solar panels to the type of applications I was referencing earlier with polymers and adhesives. So the range will be, no job is a bad job. The range will be everything from hourly employment through high-tech engineers and scientists who will be involved with some of these advanced technologies. Now, in terms of the landfill gas to energy project only, that will be generating somewhere around 80 to 100 jobs on site here at the landfill that will be high-skilled, high-trained, technical positions involved in the technology that cleans that gas to pipeline quality. So it'll be a full range of employment opportunities.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
Tracy, it's kind of crazy, but a few years back, I remember seeing something in India where they were using waste from the pigs and other things. And they had this huge plastic container, and they had water in it, and you put the waste in it and closed it back up, and they were cooking with it. And I mean, it just was a natural process, and they were just cooking with it. which I thought was kind of interesting because it saved them a lot of money and didn't have to be on the grid or be on the natural gas line there. So, I mean, if you can pull it up out of the ground, it's natural, it's not going to cost you anything. Why not go with it?
Hey, you know, methane gas. You got to understand.
It stinks. It stinks, but it does the job.
That's amazing. Ron, can you give me a little, and guys, your lines are open. Just let me know if you want to ask him a question. But Ron, how did this technology come to fruition? How did this happen? I mean, you know, methane gases, it's the smell that comes off the trash, pretty much.
Well,
who would have thought, I mean, seriously, who would have thought to take the smell that comes off the trash and put it in a bottle and make something out of it?
You're exactly right. The methane gas is a natural byproduct of the microbial breakdown of the organics that's in the trash. So when you put it in a landfill, those microbes over time break down the trash and produce methane as their waste product, and it stinks. That's why federal regulations require all landfills, once they reach a certain size, and our landfill reached this size years and years ago, requiring the installation of an underground collection system, a series of pipes and fans and blowers to pull that methane out and prevent it or minimize its release out to the outside air. And that is what we've been collecting for 15 years and burning on site with a large flare that combusts that methane gas and prevents that odor from occurring. Because at that point, when you're burning it, you aren't releasing the odors. Now, that is a big enough flare that motorists on I-71, because our landfill is located just west of I-71 on the south side of Columbus, but motorists traveling north and south regularly at night follow the local fire department to report that there must be some large structure off to the west of the interstate that's on fire because I can see the flames from where I am. That's our flare. And since I came into this job, I've been asking, why can't we capture that? We already capture it, but instead of burning it off, why can't we use what is already used in the oil refining industry and use that technology to clean this to natural gas grade and look to sell it and generate revenue that we can use, instead of having to raise rates to our ratepayers. And that is what we now have in place. That project will be up and operating in about 18 months under contract. It's already under contract.
I'm going to ask you a silly question, because you said that gas is going to enter the main line and go to California. Didn't Columbia Gas want it, or East Ohio?
Well, here's the issue there. That's a very good question. The forecasted rates for natural gas in Ohio, driven primarily by the availability of shale gas out of the Utica and Marcellus formations, will be available and marketed at such a low price throughout Ohio that the price of cleaning our gas on site cannot compete with what's going to come out of the ground from those formations. However, there are other areas around the United States that will not be so accessible, or that gas coming out of the shales will not be that readily available, such as the West Coast, where they are still going to be paying a premium price to get pipeline quality natural gas. So that is the market that we're tapping into.
So how much cleaning do you have to do to that gas compared to what comes out of the raw gas from one of those Marcellus wells?
It would be more cleaning because it's landfill gas. So it contains minute amounts of organic material.
Okay.
And inorganic material that have to be stripped out of that gas stream that, frankly, you don't find in fossil fuel sources of gas that come out of the ground.
Okay.
So, So our gas would have to be sold at a marginally higher rate in order to cover the cost of that cleaning. But here's where I want to go. There is interest in some companies, and I'm not telling you I agree or disagree with this, but it's a fact. There are some companies that want to take part of our gas and blend it in with their fossil gas so that they can market it as a combination of biorenewable with fossil fuel gas. If the marketplace wants to do that, that's fine with us.
But it's good marketing.
It is. I mean, it's a PR campaign, let's face it. That's a good marketing approach. So we will have those kinds of outlets. But we're going to be generating such a huge volume of this gas every year, like I said, enough to completely meet the annual fuel needs of the three largest cities in the state in terms of their public fleets, that we need a secure outlet that is willing to contract long-term, meaning at least 20 years, to buy this fuel year in and year out. And that's what we find out west.
Okay. Now, are you in? Are you talking to other solid waste districts throughout the state? I mean, are other people getting on board with this throughout the state of Ohio?
Well, we are one of the few solid waste districts that own a landfill. There are a handful of other districts that own a landfill, but none of them have a landfill that is anywhere close to the scale that we have here in Columbus. And what you need to make this kind of a public-private venture work is a large enough critical mass of raw material, meaning either the raw refuse, and we handle over 1 million tons a year here at our landfill. So we have what the industry refers to as critical mass, meaning there's enough feedstock there to justify my investment of my private dollars in Ohio at SWECO and give me a reasonable enough belief that I can realize my return on investment within a reasonable time that I'm willing to do that. We are the only entity in the state that is a solid waste district that has that critical mass and has complete control of that waste stream here in our county to be able to provide that level of business confidence to outside investors.
Are you getting the support of the legislative bodies?
Absolutely.
And are you getting overregulated or underregulated? Are you getting what you need to make this happen so that you can actually create and or distribute this type of resource into the municipalities?
Yes, we are. The Central Ohio delegation in particular is very supportive of what we're doing. They see the need for additional infrastructure in terms of filling stations and firms in terms of distribution systems for the gas beyond the system that we have in place. And the current governor and the administration is very interested in this. And we're being looked at, frankly, as a model in Ohio that members of the General Assembly and the administration would like to replicate in other areas of the state. The challenge is how do you accumulate that critical mass in order to attract the investor dollar?
So what possible complaints could anybody have about doing this? I mean, this sounds like this is a panacea for energy.
Well, yeah, you would think that. Most people do see it that way. We do know that there are some more extreme environmental groups who do not necessarily view this as a positive thing. And
The environmental groups complain about the landfills. They scream and holler about everything going on. What in the world could they say about you taking the landfill instead of using, you know, what you have but actually creating it into a resource? We're no longer dealing with fracking and drilling. So what's the complaint now?
The complaint is twofold. number one, and I'm not talking. I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here. This is the more extreme environmental segment of the environmental advocacy movement. And I've been told this right to my face. We don't like what you're doing, Ron, because you are attaching value to landfills. We want to see all landfills closed immediately. The sooner the better. And if we outlaw landfills, we force the general public and the business community into recycling more, regardless of the cost. So that's one complaint. I'm attaching value to the continuation of landfilling when they want to see landfilling stopped. The second complaint is that we are producing, when compared to gasoline and diesel fuel, yet another low-cost fuel for consumption by Americans. Some of these environmental advocates believe that Americans already consume too much energy, wastefully consume it, and they would like to see the price of energy skyrocket in order to force Americans to use less and dramatically reduce the need to, in their mind, drill in places that they don't want to see drilling taking place.
But, Ron, don't you have to use energy to have economic activity?
Absolutely. I'm only recounting
We're just checking. I don't agree with that.
I know
another guy that calls those radical environmentalists watermelons. They're green on the outside and red on the inside.
Oh, I'm just – it just baffles me. This is very, very fascinating. Yeah, Alex, go ahead.
Can I ask the gentleman a question?
Sure, you certainly may. He's out of Florida, Ron.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Orlando, Florida. My questions may be a little bit technical in nature, as I'm an engineer, but so bear with me. When it comes to the actual fuel consumption that you can make, I'm sure it's determined a lot by the rate of decomposition in your landfills, meaning that, you know, it takes time for the garbage to decompose to create that methane, you know. So do you know what that theoretical limit of methane or natural gas that you could actually produce from your landfill?
Sure. First of all, at our present rate of landfill receipts, we have enough landfill capacity already permitted and conceptually designed. You don't do your final design until you're within a year or two of actually needing that landfill cell to be available. But we have about 25 years of additional capacity left in our landfill. Capacity that I'm saying we will never ever need to use, because we will not be landfilling way sooner than what that capacity would provide. But to get back to your immediate question, at the rate of our current landfilling, we will be continuing to provide significant quantities of gas to be commercially viable for decades into the future. If we were to stop landfilling today, our computer models and our engineering calculations show that with what's in our landfill today, the age of the material and the way it's configured within the cells of the landfill would be capable of producing commercially viable quantities to be marketable and to be a profit-generating operation for at least the next 30 to 50 years. That's if we do not take any more waste into that landfill starting this very moment.
Wow, that's remarkable. I wanted to ask you, the name of the companies escaped me at the moment, but there's a couple. I just wanted to know if you looked into, there's a couple of companies using a technology with they take garbage. They can turn landfills into basically diesel or gasoline. Now it's a little bit more complicated process. So I know some people it just didn't make good business sense for some, but it has for others though, because there's a lot of organic material in garbage, and so you break it down to the fundamental carbon and process it, you can actually make petroleum. And so I was just wondering if you had looked at any of that potential for your landfill. Yeah.
We have. That's another excellent question. Our view right now, and of course, as we move into the future, who knows how these systems are going to continue to evolve and improve and become more and more efficient and effective. But right now, our view is the pure organic material that comes into our landfill, and by that I mean everything from food waste to paper, cardboard, anything that has carbon and fiber form, I mean it's cellulosic in nature, we would see that being best converted into natural gas. The portion of the waste stream that contains film plastics and some other types of plastics, but not all plastics, represents that portion of the waste stream that we feel is best suited to run through a pyrolysis type system or a gasification type system, which simply means it's not combustion, mm-hmm. open flame, and convert that part of our waste stream, distill it basically, back into mm-hmm. petroleum compounds, oils. So that's our present approach based on the science and what we see as the most efficient and least risky applications given what we have in our waste stream.
That's excellent. I can't quite recall you. So you are a government entity then?
Yes, we are, created by state statute. We are not controlled by the City of Columbus. We are not controlled by the county commissioners. We have a 9-member board of trustees that is appointed by a cross-section of the community, and that's under the statute. So we are responsible to that 9-member volunteer board who really provides the governance of SWECO.
Wow.
Okay.
That's amazing.
So you're not like a so I can't buy stock in your company then. That's really where I was going with this.
I can't tell you how many times I've been asked that question over the last year.
So we just want to know, can we buy stock? That's all we want to hear. If you're a government agency, it doesn't count.
Afraid not.
Can I ask a question, Tracy?
Sure, go ahead, Matt.
I'm not sure.
Matt, Matt, tell them where you're from.
I'm out of Stowe, Ohio, just north of Akron over here.
Sure.
My question, I'm not sure if it was covered because I've been kind of in and out. If it has been covered, just stop me. You said that the main product that deals with this is methane, correct?
Yes.
All right. because of some government control over certain things that produce methane, like cows and such, is there a byproduct to burning methane that there might be some issue with environmental groups like CO2 or something like that? Is there a I never really thought about that because I kind of considered methane as a byproduct itself. Is there a byproduct to burning methane?
Yes, there is. Fundamentally, any combustion that occurs generates products of combustion, which includes the reduced compounds that were in the material that's been burned. So in the case of methane, you do get carbon dioxide, you get some carbon monoxide, you get nitrogen oxides, you get small amounts of particulate matter. But in comparison to burning gasoline or diesel fuel, when you burn natural gas, it is much, much cleaner and much smaller amounts of those off gases are produced. So when you burn that fuel in the engine of your vehicle, likewise, the products of combustion that come out the tailpipe using natural gas as a fuel are much less than if you burn either diesel fuel or gasoline. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. I'm completely for it. I don't think there's anybody listening who's not for it. I love it. I think it's great. I've always been for natural gas and any type of energy that's available right now and the technology is right now. And what you're talking about is technology that's here and ready to be utilized. And I like that. I almost like the fact that you're government affiliated because they really can't turn on themselves and say, wait a second, this isn't good for the environment. I find it funny how, especially with you being a government-affiliated agency where you have things coming down, like with farmers who have to pay an extra fee or tax for having extra heads of cattle because they produce methane. I think this is a great way to be able to get rid of that tax. Let's go to some farms and collect some methane, you know?
Well, when Ron hasn't said, but the company that they partnered with for the compressed natural gas station, Quasar, they actually do sell commercial digesters to farmers. I've looked on their website, and what's neat is I looked at this, and what kind of a percentage of stuff out of Columbus ends up at that Quasar plant out there, Ron?
Oh, gosh. Those are mostly pure streams of organic material, such as sewage sludges, such as organic material that comes from food manufacturing and canning facilities and the Anheuser-Busch brewery. I don't have a percent to put on it, but it's very large. I mean,
And I'm looking at their website right now, and it says they're making the equivalent of 3,600 gallons of gasoline a day out there.
I got it. You know, listen, Ron, I am the dumbest one in the room, okay? So you have to excuse me being so naive about this.
No problem.
Okay, because I'm a girl. You know, ask me about something I know about, like shopping or something. But okay, let's go back to the cows and the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
How do cows make methane gas? Because I just want to make sure I got this in my head straight.
Well, I grew up on a farm, so I can tell you.
Oh, help me out, please.
The cow's stomach is amazing.
Right. I read that in a book. Okay.
God was working overtime when he designed the cow's stomach because it's made up of four chambers. Cows eat plants. Plants contain cellulose. Cellulose cannot be easily broken down by bacteria. It takes special strains of bacteria to break down cellulose. So when a calf is newly born, the first thing that happens is that calf becomes inoculated by its mother with the bacteria needed to go into one of those four chambers in its stomach to be able to break down cellulose, which is a carbon-based compound, but it's the stuff that makes wood. In it, when you chew celery, the fiber that's in the celery, that's the cellulose. The cow breaks down all of the other sugars and all of the other carbon-based compounds, and the bacteria that's in its stomach breaks down the cellulose into those sugars and other compounds so that the cow can then absorb those sugars that come out of the cellulose. But the cow doesn't only do that. In the last chamber and into the intestine of the cow, it also absorbs the very bacteria that broke down the cellulose. So in the process, those bacteria that are in the cow gut produce methane gas, the same as the landfill does, as a process of breaking down that organic material. And so the gas that cows produce comes from that process.
Okay, let's go back to the word gas. Flatulence.
Yes.
Just checking.
Now, if I could go back for just a second.
Okay.
I'd like to give you my vision and something that when I'm out speaking to groups, I've been saying for the last, gosh, at least the last couple of years. My vision for the use of natural gas in America And I don't care whether it comes from a landfill or out of the Marcellus shales. I think that we should be, as a national priority, looking at using natural gas to convert fleets from petroleum-based products, gasoline and diesel fuel, to natural gas. Let me give you an example. Most homes, at least in the Midwest, are heated with natural gas. So you already have a natural gas line that runs right into your home. With a modest investment, you could have a takeoff line from that same line that now runs to your furnace go into the garage that you use. And with another modest investment, with a small compressor, when you drive home at night from work into your garage, you can flip a switch on that compressor and you can refill your vehicle right in the comfort of your own garage.
Ron, I'm working on it. I'm convinced.
I'm already doing it.
He's already doing it. I'm working on it. I think that's the most. I think that's the most fascinating thing in the world, that I can fill my tank up while I sleep.
And the neat thing is, if you're buying it directly from the gas supplier right now, we're at like 70 cents a gallon or something.
Right.
Plus, you don't have to go to the gas station. I can't tell you how, you know, in the morning when my wife is like, I got to go to work, and she goes, oh, I have no gas. Can you go get it for me at 6 o'clock in the morning?
And we haven't even begun to talk about the advantages of reducing our dependence on foreign sources of oil by doing this.
And it's...
When are we going to actually begin a serious conversation so that we can multiply this conversation amongst the American electorate so that we can become more fuel independent and start dealing with the real elephant in the room? Or you think we're lagging because we're trying to find a way to make more money on it so it will compete with what we're doing?
Well,
because I don't think we really want to become independent of foreign oil. I don't think that's a part of. And I won't jump you into a political conversation too much, but I don't think that's the agenda of people. I don't think they want that.
I agree with you, but there are, no question about it, some very powerful competing interests here. You have the established petroleum companies, but I got to tell you, based on conversations that I've had with many of these companies, they are looking to transition. They see this coming, and so they're already making plans to transition away from the traditional gasoline and foreign oil-based fuels into fuels that are more available here from natural deposits in the United States. But there are other competing interests. You have environmental group concerns, as I was referring to earlier. That's not all environmental groups. That's only some. You also have... The automobile industry, who is going to have to make a heavy investment in completely retooling and producing alternate types of engines as opposed to the traditional gasoline engine.
I've got to jump in real quick and ask you this. We've thrown our resources behind electric cars, these hybrid electric cars
and windmills.
And we don't want coal, and we don't want clean coal technology to advance. Well, where we live, you know, our energy here with First Energy or we are coal powered. So why not really start thinking about natural gas?
Well, can I? I'm sorry. Can I add this too? You're talking about with the automobile industries being having to retool and such. We've already seen this with government intervention. We've already seen it with the oversight of government, especially with GM. They've been forced to make some of these cars, electric cars or hybrid cars. They've been forced to make a certain percentage of these vehicles, and we're already forced to retool. So I say, if I'm a private organization, a car maker, I'm going to retool where the money's at, and I'm going to go with natural gas and be able to stay on that medium for quite some time.
Ron, I believe Honda right now is the only one who's producing a dedicated natural gas vehicle, correct?
That, to my knowledge, that's correct.
And I believe if you buy one of the other vehicles... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
What'd you say?
I say they're producing it right off the assembly line. You don't have to do any retrofitting or anything.
And the problem with that car is it's dedicated natural gas, so if you run on natural gas, you're stuck.
So it's not dual.
Right, it's not a bi-fuel vehicle. Now, the other big three also are producing bi-fuel vehicles. Now, are those being retrofitted aftermarket, and they're just carrying a company logo? Is that what's going on with those?
In most of the cases, that is correct. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Well, listen, Ron, I thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to get the word out on what we're trying to do down here. And we would welcome any questions from your listening audience. If you want to contact us here, the general number is area code 740. I'm sorry, I was giving you my home phone number.
Just say
don't
no.
Don't
do it.
I'm glad my friend here caught me and cut me off. 614-841-5100.
Do that again.
614-871-5100.
Ron, I'm going to call you when I come down that way again because I want to stop and take a tour of this. I want to see how this really, really works.
I come down
fairly often.
We would love to have you. We have an open invitation to our community here. If anybody wants to come in, we're happy to take them on a tour of our facilities.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to see how this really works. Because you have to know, I'm a comedian at heart. I got jokes.
Well, thanks again for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate
you.
Listen, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll shake it up. We'll throw the energy and methane gas, and we'll go back to guns if you want to. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Ron. I want to thank Sticks for going out and finding this guy at the gas station and going and dragging him in to Tracy and Friends. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
World, well-informed customers are our best customers. We want you to compare our product with others, to carefully consider the details of our warranty against the competition, and to ask important questions about installation. Why? Because once you do, you'll find out that Window World comes out on top every time in quality, price, and service. Call the original 189 guys at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW today to schedule your free in-home estimate. Window World, not only do we stand behind our windows, we stand on them.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, see your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and check out America's freshest lineup of vehicles, like the 2013 Focus. Get a great value with attractive lease or cashback options. For details, visit driveoneohio.com.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-630-1090. That's 1-800-630-1090.
Congratulations to Crosby Mook Office Equipment as they celebrate 100 years in business. Just ask your grandparents. Crosby Mook is probably where they got their typewriter as a graduation gift. But things have come a long way since then. And since Crosby Mook has been locally owned and operated for every one of those 100 years, they're able to offer more cost-effective pricing than national or regional companies. Crosby Mook provides the lowest overall total cost of ownership. With Toshiba and the Managed Print Services program, they can save your office an average of up to 40%. That's savings any business can benefit from. Crosby Mook carries the full line of Toshiba multifunction copiers. In fact, they've had clients who've traded in their old inkjet machines and saved enough in ink to buy their new Toshiba. That's the power of being locally owned and operated. Crosby Mook, celebrating 100 years in business.
Are you satisfied?
You.
Hi.
Party.
Considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7000.
7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and the Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
330-781-9600, 1-800-530-WSOM, or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Listen, I got to play a clip. I have not listened to it yet, but it says something to the effect that Vice President Biden, he says that President Obama may use executive orders to crack down on guns. Good idea, bad idea?
Lousy idea.
He is going to act for executive orders, executive action that can be taken. We haven't decided what that is yet, but we're compiling it all with the help of the Attorney General and all the rest of the cabinet members, as well as legislative action we believe is required. So I appreciate you very much being here.
Okay. The number is 347-945-5229. Jump in. Alex, you're on. Matt, you're on. Right now, where are we going with this? What are we doing? I'm on. I'm only got a couple more minutes before the end of the day, and I might as well jump all over the place. I talked about natural gas, that we have alternative fuel sources. We don't have to be dependent upon. We can prepare to be non-dependent on foreign fuel, but I think we want to stay there.
We could be completely and totally independent on
the Middle
transportation
East.
Fuel within a couple of years. Very easily done.
We've got a president who's getting ready to start signing executive orders on gun control, which are amendments issues or are constitutional issues.
I'm afraid we're getting ready to have a civil war.
Do you really think that we'll have, because I think Jeff said something. He says, you know, if we really go after the guns, we're going to cause a problem in America. I don't know.
If they go for confiscation.
I don't think it's going to get that far.
They
want to go after the Met. You think they're going to confiscate the large magazines?
I think they're going to go for confiscation of firearms. If you look at the proposed legislation right now from Feinstein, they want to make it so, well, we're not going to take your guns now, but when Grandpa dies, you're going to turn all his guns over to the state. And that ain't going to happen. I mean, I honestly believe that they're poking people in the nose trying to get somebody to do something crazy.
The Washington National Cathedral, where the nation gathers to mourn tragedies and celebrate new presidents, will soon be the site of same-sex marriages.
I saw that yesterday.
Okay, I'm bouncing, but I'm just reading the news. I'm just reading the news, y'all.
We got a new normal, Tracy. You got to get used to the new normal.
Okay.
Now there's a. I also read something the other day. There's a movement to make pedophilia normal.
Yeah. That's come up a couple of times.
Hey, baby, if it feels good, do it.
And are we going to just sit on the sidelines and say nothing?
well, you and I are saying something, but what about the rest of the people?
But it's more than saying something. You have to organize, energize, and actually start moving forward. You know, even I don't. Alex and I totally disagree on drug legalization. And as I said, if you had left the monkey in the box, then you don't have to worry about, you know, what the monkey's doing. But you can't feed the monkey to the people, you get a craving for it, and then make it free, because all it will do is consume you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's what I see, and they're looking for consumption, and it'll kill us.
Well, the old saying is, you don't boil a frog by throwing him in boiling water. You start there, and you just turn up the heat a little bit at a time. I mean, we've been accepting. Infringements on our rights little by little in exchange for rights that don't exist, made up rights, such as the right to health care or the right to this or the right to that, for years. And it's getting to the point now where a few of the frogs are starting to feel the heat, and they don't like it too much.
But I don't even think they know that they're in a fire.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that realize they're in a fire.
A lot of folks don't.
The majority don't.
They don't know they're in a
fire. The majority don't understand because they stopped thinking a long time ago.
Hey, Michigan, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. That's a very good show you had on earlier. I'm just soaking it all in.
There's a lot going on, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was talking about the previous conversation about the energy.
The biogas.
Yeah. That's big time stuff there. I didn't know y'all have intelligent people like that on this show. I had to throw that in there.
What? Always dogging us. Always dogging us. Can't give us an attaboy once, can you?
I tried. I'm sorry.
It gets better with time. I thought you knew.
Okay. But you know what I was called in for, one of the things I think, if you take just a broader view of, I guess I heard that too about the executive order, and of course, you know, that's been the conspiracy theory is going to run wild with that, you know, with the executive order on the guns. But you know, and this is really for like people like Sticks, the only way I see something like that happening is, you almost got to have the entire military and those individuals who are in the military who've taken those oaths, they've got to have just like a complete brainwashing or a complete breakdown of their mental capacity and saying, hey, I'm getting ready to now, you know, do martial law against my own fellow Americans. You got to have that. You've got to have a complete breakdown in you guys' Christian belief. I mean, it's just got to be multiple breakdowns everywhere.
But don't you see it happening?
Mary, I just cannot see that.
I don't see that happening.
You don't see Cuomo calling for it? You didn't see that article? Cuomo's calling for confiscation. There's a senator in Iowa, I'm not sure if he's a state senator, I think it's a state senator in Iowa calling for a confiscation in Iowa. You know,
no, I guess
these things start out small, and then they build momentum.
But what I'm saying is I don't see the breakdown in the other institutions.
You're seeing a
at a fundamental level that would allow, you know, this martial law, and now we're going to control all of the population. I don't see the breakdown
from that happening. You're right. I don't see the breakdown where you're controlling them. We're not going back to slave chains, and that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But you can see the controls mentally because people are very, very complacent. Being where they are, they don't want any more. They don't want any more education. They walk in lockstep. They don't step out of their boundaries. They don't question authority. They just let you. They'll just say, "Well, there ain't nothing we can do about it," and keep on living. Don't you see that?
I get what Michigan's talking about. Michigan is saying, and this is true, you know, like our military has to take an oath, and the oath to the Constitution is above the oath to the Commander-in-Chief. That's
Bingo.
What they have to support. And
Bingo.
I get that. I get that. And it does make sense. The problem is, and I can see through executive order that not being able to happen. However, the Constitution being the living, breathing document that it is, might allow for something to happen to certain amendments to where it'll seem, it'll be either over time or it will be viewed upon as voted by the populace. In other words, our elected officials agreed on it, and they'll try to push it through some way. But I do see a violation and a move against the Second Amendment, maybe not through executive order, because I think you're right, Michigan. I think that he would have one hell of a battle on his hands if he were to do that.
Yeah. And well, and also the Christian population. I mean, it's almost like you have multiple, what do you call those, stopgap measures just with the group thinking in certain areas to where I just don't see it being able to overrun, you know, all of that, how would you say, all of those groups and their worldviews to make that happen. I don't see it.
Well,
I don't see that conspiracy going that far.
See, I don't think it'll happen tomorrow morning, don't get me wrong, but I can see his head in there. And the thing is that one of the greatest freedoms we have in this country, we've always had, was the freedom to be left alone. And more we're losing our freedom to be left alone. Now they're telling me I got to buy health care whether I want to or not. They're telling me I got to do this whether I want to or not. I got to do that whether I want to or not. Just leave me alone. And we're losing the freedom just to be left alone. And part of being left alone is it's none of your business how many guns I have. It's none of your business. As long as I don't hurt anybody else with those guns, it's none of your business what I do with them. And we're just losing our freedom to just be left alone. It's like somebody wants in our business 24/7. It's like we're being pushed and prodded until you're either going to do one of two things. You're either going to turn around and fight back at the person who's pushing you or prodding you, or you're going to take it and just say, okay, fine, that's just the way life is. And that's what's concerning me.
And that's the genius of progressivism, because that's what they do. It's such a long time span that they allow progressivism to work in, to where people don't realize that these freedoms and these facts that they used to be able to be left alone, as Stick said, is being taken away. That's why the way that, and I said this before in this show, that's why I kind of want to see things happen a little faster. I wouldn't mind seeing these freedoms get ripped away immediately so everyone can see the cause and effect, who's holding the bag at the end of the day, and we can unite as a country again and rebuild it.
Well, you know, earlier we were talking about zoning, and I heard a guy on television the other day, and he made a very good comment. He said, can you imagine what Thomas Jefferson would say if somebody told him he had to ask somebody permission to put an addition on Monticello? Think about that. Look at all of the things that we've given away, all of the things that our grandparents would have taken for granted was just, you know, you want to build a house, just go do it.
Yeah, he's right about that. You cannot go add an addition to your house without going and getting a permit.
It seems like what is left out of the equation when it comes to that is the continued growth of technology, the complexity of relationships when you're talking about so many people being in contact with each other. I mean, just that alone causes, you know, more complications about what is these fundamental freedoms you're saying that's getting took, and how does that relate to, you know, your neighbor. So it's not as simple as saying, hey, just leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? It ain't that simple when you got billions of people on the planet saying, just leave me alone, let me do what I want to do. You can't do that.
Why can't you?
Okay, for instance, like you say, okay, for instance.
Now, hang on a second.
Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Even with, like, the smoking. Now, of course, once you got your individual restaurant, say, hey, I own this. If I want to let everybody smoke in here, I can. And if this is a smoking restaurant, if you don't want to go here, go somewhere else. But just the relationship of learning that from someone smoking close to you, it could affect you. Just that dynamic had to make you look at it differently. So you couldn't just say, just let me do what I want to do. You see what I'm saying? Just that dynamic alone, that saying smoking next to someone could, in fact, harm them, makes you have to look at that personal freedom a little bit different. You don't see how that?
Are you talking in public space or in private space? I agree with you in public space where we don't have a choice on, say, a public bus. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But in a restaurant, if there's a sign on the door that says this is a smoking restaurant, you don't want to go there, don't go there. That's all.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is even with the restaurant owner, right, let's say that he found out that, hey, okay, most of my money comes from non-smokers. So it makes him have to look at allowing smoking inside of his facility. He has to look at that. So
you know
that's what I'm saying.
He can either have a smoking restaurant or a non-smoking restaurant.
But not in Ohio.
Well, in our pretend society.
Okay.
He can either have a smoking restaurant or a non-smoking restaurant depending upon the profit margin. If it's more profitable to have a non-smoking restaurant, he's going to have a non-smoking restaurant.
Let me bring up an example really quick. There's a restaurant chain called Beef O'Brady's. And Beef O'Brady's, for years before this law was passed, was a non-smoking restaurant or a non-smoking bar restaurant. And they had been that way since their conception. Well, now that it's law in Ohio, they still exist. And they made quite a bit of money before the law and since the law. There's a lot of people, and they didn't look at clientele. They weren't looking exactly the money they were making because they were still making money. Mm-hmm. But they are still doing well today as they did in the past before the smoking law was passed.
Well, yeah. For example, my wife has asthma. We just didn't go to any place where there was smoking even before there was non-smoking laws. We just refused to go to restaurants that allowed smoking. We just didn't go there.
Well, I just wanted to show the dynamic because if you, from listening to particularly some of the stuff that you say, Sticks, it's almost like you're saying, hey, man, just leave me alone and let me do what I want to do out
here
right. In this world.
Michigan, you missed it. We started the show that way because we were talking about zoning. And I'm like, he lives out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I heard it. I was listening.
So him putting a car in the front yard, who cares? My neighbors, I have a problem because when you put your car in your front yard, it affects my property value.
You see? See, that's what I'm saying. But according to Sticks, he's saying, hey, man, if I want to plant corn in my front yard and use that as a fence, the heck with you.
And that's what he's saying.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's kind of almost caveman-ish. I mean,
no, that's private property rights.
I know it's private property, but you don't understand what I'm saying?
I can see, and I don't know if we're on the air or off the air, but I live where I live because I am the kind of person that I am. Because I wouldn't want to infringe on my neighbors. I wouldn't move into a neighborhood of people that didn't want to live like I want to live. Does that make sense?
But see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
When I say leave me alone, it's because I think people should be left alone to live in neighborhoods where people like them want to live.
But see, where we differ, this is where my issue comes in. I move into my neighborhood, which is like your neighborhood, and I like things the way they are in my neighborhood. And I'm there. And I have a 30-year mortgage on my neighborhood. And when I get done paying for my 30-year mortgage on my 30-year house that I've been living in there 30 years, the transition of my neighborhood is not the same as it was when I first signed on the dotted line of my mortgage. I have problem with that because the neighborhood changes, and I don't have demands on my neighborhood. So I want to know who my neighbors are before you buy your house. I don't want you to own the house next door to me if you're a crackhead.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. That'd be just like you're saying, well, hey, I own the property next door to you, Tracy, and I want to put a strip club there.
Absolutely not.
You see? but I want to be free.
Don't want to own it?
I can afford to put it there. I want a strip club right next to your house.
But what business owner in his right mind would do that, because the neighborhood doesn't lend to that business making money in that position?
People do that.
Well, but
it's a brothel maker. It's a money maker.
No, brothel different than a strip club.
Same thing.
You can put a brothel anywhere.
What do you think a strip club is?
You can put a brothel anywhere.
The people who are coming to my strip club, they don't stay in that neighborhood, so I don't give a damn if y'all come or not.
There might be a brothel next door to you, Tracy, and you don't even know it.
What do you think?
Tracy, I'll be over for dinner.
What do you think a strip club is? Sticks.
Who are you talking about? Sticks?
I said there's a difference between a brothel and a strip club.
Yes, there is a difference.
What's the difference?
In a strip club, the ladies aren't allowed to leave with the clientele.
Okay.
Yeah, but they got places where you can have privacy with the clientele.
And there's many.
That depends what city and what state.
It don't matter. What goes on, it's like they shut down on massage parlors in Warren because they weren't giving those kind of massages. Hello? You can call it what you want. But we can't put our head in the sand. I don't want it next door. Yeah, you own the property. You legalize drugs, and now you're going to regulate the drugs that you sell outside. But right now, you own the property, and you got too much traffic coming in and out of your house in the middle of the night. You're not knocking on my door.
But let's go back to Alex. If marijuana was legalized, you wouldn't have any traffic going in and out of the house.
Yeah, you would.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, you would. Alex, hold on. Wait a minute now. Hold on. Let's get this straight. Do you realize that they still have liquor houses in America?
They're called tips. Yeah, I watch Moonshiners on Discovery.
Okay. So just
because...
Oh, yeah,
I just got some moonshine from Mississippi over Christmas.
Hey, Alex, listen, I want you to understand. You can still buy bottled liquor not go to the state store.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can.
So you really think if you legalize it, they're not going to sell it illegally?
No, I didn't say that. But you don't have the crime. You don't have the civil dysfunction, that we see, and that's what I'm talking about. We shouldn't be trying to control people's personal habits. I think that it's a slippery slope when you erode people's private property rights. That's the reason why I'm against the. I'm about to get flack from Michigan, man. Against the Civil Rights Act the way it is written, because it infringes on people's property rights. Because when you do that, that's why now you can't even get on the airplane, because now we don't have any rights anymore.
Alex, I wouldn't disagree with that when you're talking about the infringement on private property rights. Hell,
right.
I don't think blacks should have been trying to sit at the same damn lunch counter.
you
ain't gonna get no fight out of me with that, man.
All right. Okay. All right. That's good.
Listen, anytime right now, when you look at TSA and what they've done to airline travel, it is a travesty.
I hate to fly.
They have turned an enjoyable experience into a real nightmare.
Hey, Tracy, you know what I'm hoping, though?
What's that?
I don't know if you saw, but there's a judge that ruled that stop and frisk policy in New York City as unconstitutional.
I mean,
everybody knew it, but they were still doing it, and the police are still doing it. So what I really hope is that this gets elevated to the national discussion, because the TSA, if that's unconstitutional, it's definitely unconstitutional what the TSA is doing. And we all know that. And it needs to be, there needs to be a serious national discussion on that, what the TSA is doing. I mean, we're just giving up. All right.
Hey, Alex, I don't know if you heard me say this earlier in the show, but I had a friend, I have a friend that brought two handguns home from Germany in his carry-on.
I heard that. Mm-hmm.
This is just, this distrust of the average American is just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
If everybody on those airplanes on 9/11 would have been armed, it never would have even been attempted.
Or even if a few of them were.
Well, yeah.
If there wasn't
I mean,
a stupid federal law banning firearms on an airliner, 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
I would pay extra for a ticket on an airline that let me carry my gun.
But this is what we have to understand, and I got to go back to my disingenuousness of America. Let's really understand this. We go into an airline, and I'm going to simplify this into you can't use your cell phone and or electronic devices or the internet unless you tap into the one you pay for. Why can I not use my own device? Why do I have to pay for their connection while I'm on the airline?
I don't think the signal reaches.
Not the point. The point is everything is they can make the signal. They can make the signal actually reach. It's capital. It's money. It's greed. Right
no,
now, if you.
No, I've never heard that one, Tracy.
I can tell you why, Tracy. I mean, it's because the way that our cellular network is set up.
Okay.
They've fixed the software now, but there was a time where and this has happened before, where people would get on an airplane, they would pull out their cell phones when cell phones were relatively new. And because when you're flying in the air, see, the way cell phones work, you're communicating with one tower at a time, and there's things going on in the background that switch you off to the second tower if you're, like, say, driving down the street or something. But if you're flying up in the air, you're communicating with, you know, potentially dozens of towers at a time. It's
okay.
Seeing a signal. And so what then happens is that a person would, you know, after their trip at the end of the month, they would get a bill for, like, a million minutes. Because you had all this
roaming.
Voice traffic going through, like, say, 20 different cells at a time. And so
okay.
They figured, well, these were, you were just talking. You would talk. And so then people were getting charged, like, insane bills because of that, because you're communicating with more than one cell tower at a time. And
but
so,
Alex,
you know.
Alex, let me ask you a quick question, and I never did the research on this, but on my phone I have something that says airplane mode. Is that something that's what you're talking about?
It just turns off your radio. It just turns off the radio, yeah, so that doesn't happen.
But awesome. What I'm saying is, Alex, going back to you and your legalization of everything, if I choose to get $1 million minutes, it's my choice. But they make me turn my phone off, and it's not because of my bill.
I agree.
They make me turn my phone off because they want to make my money.
No, wait a minute. You turn it right back on after you're up
no,
here.
Yeah, I've never heard that, what Tracy's talking about.
What?
I thought they make you turn it off at a particular time, and
yeah.
Then you can turn it on.
No, you can turn it back on.
Not your phone.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Never
heard that, Tracy.
Once you're so high, they say use of electronic devices is...
You can
but
do
not
it.
Your
That's
phone.
Right.
Not your phone, not your internet access, none of that. Not those devices. You can use your computer, but you can't use your phone. Hey guys, we're gone. We'll see you tomorrow. But I love you. Tomorrow it is it's Health and Wellness Day, so you know what we'll be doing. Have a good day, and we'll see you then.
WSOM Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.